Whilst I've had the benefit of being able to oversee and influence thousands of podcasts, I think one of the most important developments these days is recognizing that loyalty is out the window and your content has to be better than ever if it's going to be successful.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. That's the new way I'm starting shows now. Yeehaw. Hey, we had a great chat with Marcus Pearce.
Marcus Pearce, a great chat. Always great to catch up with MP. We wanted to dive in because, you know, one of the things that we see as a practice of the future is that you need to be seen everywhere. If you want to be positioned yourself as an expert, you want to be walking down the street, people knowing who you are and that you are the expert in the field of health, then you've got to be everywhere.
Yeah.
And a simple way to do that is through podcasting. So we chatted to Marcus Pearce about that. He's overseen over 2,000 podcasts himself, so he is an expert in this area.
Yeah.
And we really dive into what you can do for your practice in the realm of podcasting.
Yeah, it's a simple equation, gang. The more people that know, like, and trust you, the more people that are going to be ringing your practice and making appointments and are going to want to be coming back to appointments again and again. And so we have all these tools that are available to us now that have never been available beforehand. And a podcast, sometimes we can get a bit overwhelmed, like, oh, this effort I've got to go into. There are two podcasting strategies that we talk about inside this interview with Marcus. One of them is all those conversations that we have again and again and again with our practice members, they need to be put into podcast series. We talk all about that. And then we also talk about how would I use a podcast if I wanted to be community outreach, if I wanted to kind of, you're starting practice, you wanted to get busier, how would I use that as well? So, you know, two great strategies. So you might be thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm into podcasts, but podcasts, not just audio, it's video like we're doing now. A fascinating episode with that brainstorming session that we had there was really great.
Absolutely. And if you want a summary of that, then we put together a summary of those things going into some of the content ideas, the different types of podcasts. You can get that summary at adiomedia.com/28, the number 28. So jump in there. Great summary there for you to start thinking about putting together a podcast. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
So if you listen to this while you're walking the dog, driving the car, don't stress. We've got a great summary of this that you can get at adiomedia.com/28. See you on the inside.
Marcus Pearce, welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Always good to see you.
Oh, Tony Rose, Angus Pike, so awesome, privileged, excited to be with you guys. Can't wait for a jam-packed time together.
I'm excited to have a chat with you too, buddy. So you and I are probably just at the moment both in a little bit of post-football season blues, you being a D supporter, me being a Tiger supporter, with us both being bundled out in the most ugly way possible. So you seem to be coping okay with it.
No, let's not talk about it because we were really excited that we'd be playing in a grand final. Then we were all demoralized that we both missed out. So let's end it there because otherwise we'll turn all of the listeners and viewers off very quickly. Such will be our somber mood.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to get a little bit meta. We're having a podcast and we're going to talk about podcasts. And let's who better to talk with than, you know, the amazing Marcus. Now, your background in terms of, let me start with this. How many podcasts have you either been involved with or overseen or helped to produce, you know, in one way or another?
Well, I was counting the other day. There's over 2,000 podcasts on the Wellness Couch Network. Now, I'll put my hand up. I don't listen to every one of them. Not like a radio program director that has the radio station, you know, in the office playing all day long. I don't have podcasts playing in my office. I get information overwhelmed. I'd get sympathetic dominance, wouldn't I? I just have so much going on.
You just listen to the episodes of you and Damo. Those are just on repeat rather than all the others.
I just search for Angus Pike and Tony Rose in my podcast app and listen to you guys share your golden wisdom. But I am very, I don't know about you guys, but I'm very selective with my podcast listening. And I think a really good, you know, it doesn't have to come up now, but I think all podcasters and potential podcasters are really wise to recognize that podcast loyalty is out the window. It's not like listening to talkback radio where you put on the same channel at the same time every day. Now, more than ever, podcast is all about content and content that is relevant to the consumer. We have the ability and the power to now be more selfish as ever in having our needs met through information. We can watch any movie we want on Netflix or YouTube. We can read any blog or article we want through Google. We can listen to any program we want really through podcasts. And so whilst I've had the benefit of being able to oversee and influence thousands of podcasts, I think one of the most important developments these days is recognizing that loyalty is out the window and your content has to be better than ever if it's going to be successful.
Yeah. And convenience. Like, remember when you used to have to wait for Wednesday at 7:30 to watch whatever show? Like, nowadays, even free-to-air television, certainly here
in Australia. Who waits?
Yeah, you've got your apps. You can watch it whenever, however you want there too. The convenience is the key.
Absolutely. And people are searching for information, searching for things that are relevant to them and are going to bring value to their lives. And, you know, we reckon, well, who better to be in the forefront of people's minds than the health practitioners, the natural health practitioners that are out there. So is this something, putting a podcast together, that a practitioner should be doing? Is this part of the modern day practice?
Well, I think a couple of things here. One, I'm going to be biased, but two, to give my view on it, I think I should just share a couple of stories. One, I'm married to a chiropractor. So we had a health practice together for 6 or 7 years, 2008 to 2014. And so I'm a physician for all the viewers and listeners. So I was the practice manager, front desk CA, tech CO, tech chiropractic assistant, front desk chiropractic assistant. Did whatever I could to allow Sarah to be hands-on patients and then home with the kids. And so what I observed is the constant repetition as a health practitioner that Sarah would go through day in, day out. And I felt that was almost more exhausting, you know, for than anything else in practice. She loved hands-on spines and all of the relationships she built. But I think the monotony of the same question coming up in practice time and time again is probably the number one health practitioner should consider starting a podcast. Because how good would it be if you could say to any of your new patients and then establish ones as your podcast grows, all right, you've just been here for your initial consultation, go and listen to this podcast on what to do now, now that your first session is complete. All right, you've now had 2 or 3 sessions in here. Go and listen to this podcast on how to maximize that. Right, you've just had your 12th adjustment. Here's how to hold your adjustments and make the benefit of it. Go and listen to this podcast on that. You could then expand that if you wanted to be really high tech and transcribe those podcasts and turn them into reports or blogs. So here's a PDF download or here's a blog on my website. Go and read that. And if you really want to go even more expansive, you can do what you guys are doing and actually record videos and then rip the audio off the video and transcribe the audio into the blog or the PDF. And then bang, 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 you're meeting your clients on however they learn. They're learning through their reel-to-reel contact with you. Then if they like to watch stuff, they could watch you on video or listen to you on podcast or learn from you on the train or in the office through a blog or some type of printed medium. And so, of course, I'm biased, but if you think of it on a practical, productive, common sense level, as a health practitioner, you should be earning good dollars on what you've learned at uni, and it's not repeating yourself over and over again. It's actually providing the service that you've been taught how to give. And so I think podcasts allow health practitioners to do that.
I love this point. In our video influence course, we talk about in there the power of videos of what we call frequently asked question videos. And one of the things that we suggest that people do, have a pen and pad with them, you know, for the next week, and their front desk staff as well, gang, and start to write down every question that comes up more than once that week. You'll get to the end of that week, 2 weeks, come together with your staff and collate all those questions there. You'll have content there to keep you busy for the next 6 months, you know, whether it be, you know, what sort of pillow, what sort of bed should I have? Should I take those fish oil supplements? Why do I see kids in here getting adjusted as well? How long should I be getting it? Like these questions... You know, if you're one of the biggest barriers that, you know, when we're talking about is like, what am I going to make my videos about? What am I? So a question.
Well, that's just overwhelm, isn't it? And you're bringing that down to a real practical, doable level. And then as you talk and I go, that makes so much sense. And I hope everyone's seen those videos, but it's got to be a piece by piece operation because podcasts, or as you guys know, content creation, it's overwhelming at the beginning if you don't write it down and chunk it down into a more meta process where it's just, all right, this week we're going to record 2 videos, one on how to choose a pillow and one on why do kids get adjusted. And then they're going to be edited and published and distributed to our clients. And then the next week we do another 2 and so on. And that's how big stuff gets done.
Yeah. And I want you to double tap on that thing as well that you said there, because we all like to consume content in different ways. You know, so you touched before on video to audio to transcription and stuff like that as well. Let's kind of double tap our way through all of those as well. So yeah. when is video might be best? When might a podcast might be great? When should we look at a transcription? Are there ways that these mediums, in your experience, are better situated, that they perform better?
I find this one a really, I feel like I change my mind, or I challenge my thoughts on this probably every 6 months, because, you know, personally, with my major podcast, 100 Not Out, we've done nearly 300 episodes. And for about a year, Damien Christoph and I would fly to Melbourne, go to Damo's house, and we would record 13 episodes in 2 days. And we would do that 4 times a year. So a year of podcasting was done in eight days, if that makes sense. Mm. The videos were recorded, and then we would strip the audio off them. We didn't transcribe them because we didn't feel a great need to. But it was really about putting the videos on YouTube and having it more searchable and expanding the audience. But for us, we found that it wasn't, for our podcast, it wasn't worth that effort. It wasn't a major premise for us. So I think it's really about who's your audience and what are your outcomes. So video content, I would say for a podcast more like yours, where it's more practical and you could actually chop up your podcast into 3 to 5 minute educational pieces, I would say that's really important. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't go onto YouTube to watch anything that goes for longer than 5 minutes, unless it's a TED Talk, which is a multi-camera engaging piece. It's 3 to 5 cameras, so different views. Again, I'd love to know your guys' views, but my whole thing is, if you're only shooting off one camera, who sits and watches a one camera show for any more than 5 minutes? I mean, I don't know, but I don't have the patience for it. I'll listen to it if it goes for half an hour, but I'll be going for a walk, or I'll be taking notes on it, or I'll be driving the car. But watching video, it's got to be engaging. I come from a live TV background. You know, I used to work at the Footy Show, where you probably had 10 or 12 cameras to keep it engaging. If you just had it on one camera, people would switch off after 3 to 5 minutes, unless it was incredible content. So I think you've got to understand your resources, but more than anything, you've got to understand your outcome. Why would you be doing it? And that's kind of the same for us with transcribing. I don't see enough demand from our listeners to really transcribe our episodes. But then my father-in-law, who's been staying with us at the moment, said, "Oh, I was listening to a podcast, and I read the transcription, and it was so good to read the transcription." I was like, "Oh, well, maybe we need to just stop waiting for people to say do it and actually just provide the value." So, you know, I'm not hard and fast on it. I think it's something that you've really got to understand your own objectives before doing it.
Yeah, great. And look, you know, not that long ago, it was hard work to get a transcription done, wasn't it? But now with websites like Rev and Temi,
done
for next to nothing. What is it now? It's a dollar every 10 minutes.
It's a dollar a minute.
It's crazy.
I get all our videos transcribed. So any video, I get transcribed, because I do know that a lot of that video engagement is now done in the silent environment, on trains, in offices, and so on. And so people, for example, you know, that maybe they can't access this on a podcast. Maybe they're not allowed to have their phones near them in the workplace, right? If they're in an office environment, or let's say they're in a gym, and maybe it's someone that's working out the back, a PT or whatever, he's working out the back, she's working out the back, doesn't have the phone near her, but has the computer on and is on Facebook or on YouTube, and wants to either be able to see the transcriptions, or the captions along the bottom of the video. I think that's a really key addition, which people like Rev make it easy as well. But I think, just, you know, if we're talking about this, I really want people to recognize that what we're saying, it sounds really easy, but always know that there's an SHIT sandwich in whatever thing sounds easy. So even with captions, I'm sure you guys can agree, you'll pay a dollar a minute for your captions, but if you've got a 20-minute video, best practice is still to go and read through those transcriptions and make sure that there's no spelling mistakes. Pike has been spelt P-I-K-E, so you've got to go and change that to P-Y-K-E. You know, Tony Rose have spelled it T-O-N-I instead of T-O-N-Y. You know, and you've got to go back and change that, because they've just And naturally, you know, people like Rev will say, give us the correct spellings of the speakers and all the rest of it. But best practice is you've then got to go and check through all of it. So I'm always very big on, I don't know if it's because I'm getting cynical or older or whatever, but I want people to know that there's still an element, a fair element of hard work involved in any of this. And don't go, oh, you know, Marcus and Angus and Tony made it sound so easy. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone watching this know that we've all, the three of us have worked incredibly hard to be providing the content that we are right now. And podcasting and videoing is no different.
I think there's some, and great point. And then so going back to that, some things I'd like our audience to think about with the two. Think about what you're wanting to teach. So if I'm wanting to teach a piece of content, which is, you know, how fish oils will help you do X, Y, and Z, that's a piece of content that worked great as video. That's a piece of content that worked great as a podcast. If I'm going to be showing you some morning stretches that you need to be doing each morning, some spinal hygiene that you should be doing each hour at the desk, that's a kind of content that's not going to work great on an audio medium only.
Correct.
So think about that as well, as sort of content that you're sharing. Some of it works beautifully in a podcast audio only version there too. And I think, as you said before, I think the stats, Marcus, are somewhere up towards 80% of people who are watching videos on Facebook, at least, are watching it with the sound off. So captions, like you talked about before, they're not just a nice thing to have. If you're wanting people to consume your content, they're a must-have. We take the effort to do what you talked about before, to make sure we have captions on there to make it easy for people to consume. You know, and there's 100%. There's a level. One of the things I'm a big podcast, consumer tour. There's a level of intimacy, and there's a level of multitasking that comes with, which is good with podcasts, and it's just not available there for video. You know, one of the things I really, really love about it as well. Let's go back a little bit more, because some of the technology side of things, what people might need. Because I've bought into this concept, man. All the conversations I'm having again and again and again, I'm just going to keep it simple. I'm going to do an audio podcast. Here's the five things that I'm going to do. How does it go from there to it being on iTunes where I can send my patients to? So if you can answer that,
it just happens. It's just magic.
Well, that
sandwich.
Well, I love this because we would all agree that this is the number one barrier to entry for all health practitioners is, I really want a podcast, but I don't know about the technology. I don't want to oversimplify this, but even if you just do a Google search on how to start a podcast, it's disgustingly simple. That's the whole thing. So I've got an ATR USB mic. I'm still not a massive fan of spending big dollars on microphones because, oh yeah, sorry. Yeah,
it works
I'm not a massive fan.
Close to your mouth.
As I said, professional making rookie errors every day. All right, you can chop that one up, put in the bloopers reel. So this is about $120, I reckon, Audio Technica. You can spend $400 or $500, but if you're at the beginning of your podcast journey, why bother? And I know when I first started podcasting, I was using just the iPhone headphones. Don't tell anyone.
They're great.
But it can be done, and most people are not going to know the difference. I think it's a bit of a... It's a bit of a wank how much people think that audio is really important, but it's only when you've got a static buzz that it is really off-putting, or you've got something that's a bad Skype connection or a bad internet connection. If it's just an 8 out of 10 and not a 10 out of 10, but there's nothing wrong with it, it's just not in studio sound, you're going to be fine, particularly for your clients through your practice. So audio, easy. Depending on how you're recording it, but if it's on Skype or Zoom, I mean, they're very cheap, easy. Some are almost free. So Skype or Zoom would be your software to record. Ecamm call recorder for Skype recording software. And then again, I don't want to sound oversimple here, but I still record off my iPhone and a tripod. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I don't, and Lawrence Tam said this once, I don't know what you guys think, but he said, never upgrade your technology until you can really, really justify it financially. And what I have found is that particularly iPhone technology, I don't know enough about Samsung and Android phones, but iPhone technology, I almost bought a digital SLR to take with us to Europe. And then someone said, just upgrade your iPhone and use the portrait function on your camera. And that's what we did, because the iPhone technology is catching up further than what a really good video camera can. So I'd still say to all the health practitioners, just go and buy a $50 tripod and put your iPhone on there rather than go and spend $500, $1,000 on a video camera. Because you know what? All that's going to do is put pressure on you, which is unnecessary pressure, because looking after your clients is your number one priority. It's going to put an unnecessary pressure on you to justify the success of this new initiative. And I don't think that's wise. I think it's use what technology you already have. And then from there, I would really just, in terms of submitting to iTunes and the rest, I delegate that in the Wellness Couch. We have people that submit all of our podcasts. So for me to walk you through it, I couldn't actually tell you, you do this and then you do that and then you do this. But it's literally, just Google it. It's really not that hard. Anyone can upload their podcast to iTunes. I know so many people that independently, you know, record, edit and publish their podcasts. And without wanting to downsell them, they're not the brightest people. They're not the sharpest tools in the shed. You know, anyone can publish a podcast. So I think we all need to get over the, mate, honestly, we could all do it. I think we need to get over the technology barriers to submitting and publishing podcasts. It's never been designed to be hard. It's been designed to be easy. And anyone can do it.
Yeah, I mean, iTunes have some very simple explanations of how to do it. You just have to have a search around. And I think we always talk about it, that the tech fear really is a cover-up for an underlying fear of not feeling good enough or not feeling worthy or not having a message that people want to hear. And people got to deal with that, not the tech issue. It's like, you know, as soon as I get whatever tech in front of me, I go to water because I don't feel I'm enough. And we've got to deal with that issue. Marcus,
or what are people going to think of me? What are people going to think of me if I stuff it up?
That's exactly.
Particularly when people are doing their first or second interviews, you know. I'm sure you guys have had it before, but, you know, the person forgets to press record. I will always record every interview that I, when I'm being given, although I haven't pressed record today because I don't think I can hear. No, I could have actually, but I saw a recording on this, so I didn't even bother. But I know I was recording an interview the other day with a podcaster that was somewhat fresh, and something happened with their recording software and they, you know, they felt terrible. I sent them a message saying, don't worry, I recorded it. And I think that's people's fear is, you know, what if it goes wrong at the beginning? But it's always going to go wrong. You will not hold your microphone near your mouth and you will make errors and all the rest of it. And that's just part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had to redo podcasts and we've had to get recordings up other people. It does happen, folks. And that shouldn't stop you doing it. Marcus, your big one, 100 Not Out, this is where you're interviewing people who are living extraordinary lives, reaching extraordinary ages and thriving.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how you came up with that concept, because if I'm a practitioner sitting here and I go, yes, I want a podcast and I can see the value in doing these frequently asked questions ones, but I want to have a focus for my podcast. How do you come up with that? Was it just interest, expertise?
I don't know if 100 Not Out, if it's too, it might be a bit deep and meaningful, but I essentially had my own, you know, epiphanies. I was a vegan at the time and I thought that if you're a vegan, then that was almost the fountain of youth and I wasn't drinking alcohol. And then I read John Robbins' book, Healthy at 100, thinking that it would tell me that being a vegan was, just reconfirm that being a vegan was a fountain of youth. And John Robbins was the heir to the throne of Baskin Robbins ice cream. And within two pages of the introduction, I realized that it wasn't being vegan that was the key to living a great long life. It was our mindset. It was our belief system around what's our life like as we get older. If we age, as we age, are we less useful? Are we more of a burden? Are our best years behind us? And what I found on the second page of that book through a study done by Yale was that the people that had these disempowered views of aging were dying 7.5 years earlier than the people that had empowered views of aging. And that was just a view. It wasn't diet, whether you were vegan or paleo or whatever. It wasn't exercise or genes or your financial wealth or relationship status or the country you lived in, the air you breathed. It was just your belief system. And so that set the wheels in motion for me. Again, journalist by profession, I thought, all right, so if I'm wrong here, which is always a really good question to ask oneself. If I'm wrong here, then what could it be? And then, so I just went on a method of research, and then it got to the point where I'd realized how wrong I was. I then called Damo, who wanted, you know, is an omnivore meat eater. I'm still a vegan at that time. And I'm still thinking I'll, you know, get vegans on and show them that it's all about veganism. But, you know, I said, why don't, are you interested in doing a podcast on longevity? And Damo was 39 at the time and scared out of his wits of turning 40. Like, honest to goodness, was not looking forward to 40. So he had a real inspiration behind it, or a real longing to learn. And then, so that was kind of how that podcast materialized. But here's the thing. That might be a bit deep and meaningful for some, but the biggest thing with your podcast is, if no one listens to your podcast, will you still podcast? So for me, I just love podcasting. It's almost like therapy. I don't know what you guys are like, but it's so good to communicate. As blokes particularly, it's often we want to get it out, often in a safe space. You know, if you say to someone, a colleague, a friend, a spouse, even a child, you just talk stuff out and then you solve your own problems talking it out. I realized that I learned so much about my own insights just talking it out on the podcast, whether it's with a guest or with Damo on a specific topic. And I think podcasting is, think of a practitioner, you will get so much out of just sharing your wisdom and knowledge. You will feel better about your certainty in the way that you communicate it just by going through the process of hitting record and sharing it. And so if no one listens, you've still gone through that process of feeling even more certain about the way you deliver your content. And then if people do listen, then you can begin to monetize it, structure a business around it, and all the rest of it. But as I say, I don't know if I said it on air or off air, but I think download stats are overrated. It's too much of an ego stroke or the converse of that. And I think it's more important that we see it as a personal and professional growth opportunity to organize our thoughts and then benefit our clients through the content that we deliver.
Great point.
Yeah, awesome. Love it.
Because I think that's a good, if I know what the purpose of my podcast is, you know, and the purpose, you know, and it could be many of these things, but it could be to just help me streamline how things work in practice. All those questions that I ask again and again and again, that I'm sending my own patients there. I'm not worried about anybody else finding it. It's for me to send my patients to. It's going to be unrealistic that I'm going to end up with thousands of downloads. It depends on how many people you're seeing over what time. That's not what it's there for. You know, if it is a tool that I want to bring new practice members into the practice, then that's a different strategy again, a different...
Totally different.
Yeah.
And you're creating different content, and then you probably are definitely creating video content, because that will go in a Facebook advertising campaign or an Instagram advertising campaign. And that's why we said earlier in this interview, you've got to know your outcome, because when you know your outcome or your purpose for the podcast, that will tell you whether are you doing video, are you doing audio, are you transcribing, are you doing one, two, or all three of those things. And only when you know your outcome, I think, can you really define the type of content, the length of content, and everything else that you're creating.
Got it. So I've got a question for you. Are you up to strategizing with us now? Let's run through a blueprint that we've got somebody that this is their outcome. You know what? I got a big message. I got a big mission, and I want to reach more people in my community because I know they're suffering and I've got a solution for them. So it's community outreach. It's all about bringing more people in to understand. Let's say I'm a chiropractor. That's what I'm wanting to do there. So it's not just so much about streamlining my practice. You know, that's something else that I'm doing there too. So one of the three of us, because this might be really helpful to see how we would go about it if the podcast really is community outreach, marketing, with the end result being bums on seat inside my practice. Shall we have a go at brainstorming that together?
Right. Yeah, love it. I love all this stuff.
All right.
Let's go to MP. Where do we start?
So first things first, if I'm local, I want to be seen, okay? I need to be seen and heard, but really need to be seen. We all know health practitioners that are sitting in their practice just hoping that people walk through their front door. I want to be seen. So my whole thing is, if I'm in a local community, I want to be creating video content that I can turn into audio content and that I can transcribe, because the video content gets me on social media more easily. The audio content allows me to go on those global apps like the Podcasts app and whatever the Android equivalent is, like Player FM or whatever it is. And then the transcribed content can go in the local papers, can go in local publications, and so on. So I'm making the most of one piece of content. But then at the same time, when I'm creating that content, I want the call to action to be something that can change the experience from a digital experience to a real life experience. So that change in experience is going to be, I come to you to do a free talk in your club change rooms or a lunch and learn or a breakfast and learn, or you come to me for some type of introductory checkup. But I think that's absolutely key. If that makes sense.
Perfect. Okay.
Absolutely. I love that.
So, gang, here we're up to. We're deciding that we're going to shoot video. We're going to take the audio from that video, upload that as a podcast, and we're going to transcribe that too.
And the best parts of the transcription, really, if you've got a good PR, chiropractic assistant or receptionist or someone in your team, that can be edited into a brief media release, no more than 2 pages, but ideally 1 page. A media release that can go out to the local papers. And here's the thing, you don't just make that media release a one-hit wonder and send it out once. You send media release every time you create a podcast, every time you create new content, because it's like anything, they're never going to call you after the first media release. But when they see that you're a consistent performer in the local community, that in itself makes you more of an authority and more credible. And so they'll come to you after media release 6 or 7 or 8. And then it becomes Are You Okay Day, and you've done some type of content on mental health or the gut-brain connection or whatever it is, and they come to you because they've been seeing but not acting on those previous releases that you've been sharing. That could be local TV stations, radio stations, or local papers. So, and just in that, you've got video, audio, and print. And never forget, traditional mainstream media, local TV, local papers, local radio, will always jazz you up and jazz your community up from a credibility perspective more than a sponsored Facebook post.
Brilliant. So, gang, we said before we're shooting video and we're using our iPhones. Okay, let's not complicate it. And in fact, I read some research recently that was suggesting the kind of reach and the organic feel that we get from just an iPhone video is outdoing highly produced, particularly when it's on social media as well. So don't, Marcus, you said beautifully before, don't put money into a fancy camera. Look, if your phone is 3, 4, 5 years old, get a new one. Photos I get out of my iPhone 10, the video I get out of my iPhone 10 is, matches what I get out of a $5,000 camera in many cases, if the light is right there too. So we're doing that too. All right, I'm up for that. What's my content going to be about? You know, we said before, frequently asked questions is what I'm going to be doing for that. Yep. But my goal now is, I'm going to create a tribe of people. I want to build expertise, authority, bring value.
Okay. Well, this is, you're starting to push my buttons here, Angus, because remember, I'm not a health practitioner. I'm married to a health practitioner. So I'm your consumer, right? I'm Johnny Blogs. Yes. And my beef with health practitioners is they are so learned, they are so book smart that they forget, they've almost lost the art how to translate their knowledge into the everyday consumer STEM. And so I would say, what's the content that you love the most that you just could talk about all day, but you really need to define it in an easy to absorb and understand piece of content or pieces of content for your everyday consumer? Some might say your avatar, whoever it is, but your most consistent type of client, the one that comes in regularly, what do they want to hear most from you? What inspires them the most, and you love to share it? And so, if we talk about chiropractic, there's often subluxation. Now, subluxation really should be nerve interference or some form of misalignment in the spine, because then we can visualize it a bit more, and then we need to put it down into an analogy. I think for health practitioners, and Sarah always says this, she's the queen of analogies, I think health practitioners need to be the kings and queens of analogies, because the public are going to listen and learn through stuff they can understand. They don't care how high tech your knowledge is. It doesn't impress them. They couldn't give a rat about it. All they want to know is that you're a good bloke, a nice girl, you're trustworthy, and they can understand what you're saying. So put yourself in the shoes of your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister, your grandma, your grandfather, your auntie, your uncle, your best friend, who's not a health practitioner, and talk to them in a way that they can understand. But share your content that is powerful. And if I can just put a bit of media spin on this, share pain-based content. Don't talk about the sun shining and the blue sky, because we are not wired that way. As we know in the chiropractic world, we're wired for the tiger. So hit people where the pain points are. Is it mental health? Is it their pain, whether it's their obesity or whether it is their back pain or their neck pain? We can talk about wellness all day long, but really, if you want to get the attention of the local paper, radio station and TV station, you've got to talk about what's in the news and address that in your way. And that is generally going to be something that is pain-based. So mental health and are you okay and all the rest of it, that is not about pleasure. That is about pain. Let's be very clear on that. And you want to address that pain in your way. And that's what I think is most important. What type of content? Address the content that you can deliver based on a pain that you feel strongly about.
Got it. So this whole recent Are You OK, which, you know, certainly wasn't a, I don't know whether it was a global thing, but here in Australia, it was a mental health initiative reaching out to people to say, you know, hey, doing dude, that kind of thing there too. And I guess as an example, I could link that as a chiropractor that says, look, you know, when our body's not working great, when we're experiencing back aches, neck aches, headaches, those kind of things, you know, the pain, particularly when it becomes chronic, goes beyond just being a body thing, becomes a mental health issue as well. Mm-hmm. And if we forget about the massive growth that there is in musculoskeletal injuries, here in Australia, more of our desk workers end up with back aches and neck aches than our bricklayers. So, you know, we could find a link between that way there. Was that kind of what you're talking about?
100%. And all I would say is, just if I was, if we were working together on this, Angus, my TV producer would be, we've got to make it engaging and entertaining. So sometimes some humor, you know, I think of if we're doing Are You Okay, I would have people in different physiologies, you know, like how do we feel when we're under stress? We're all like this, you know, and I'd be doing some kind of, not skit, but I'd be tapping them on the shoulder and saying, are you okay? And it's kind of like, well, of course I'm not okay. Like, can't you see my posture? Can't you see my stance or the way I'm carrying my body? So I think tackling serious issues in a way that brings some, I don't want to say comedy because that's not the right term for a serious issue, but we can't forget how engaging entertainment is. And so we've got to be educational, but we've also got to have a level of personality. For men, it's more like that pub talk personality, which is why you see a lot of mental health nights being held at the pubs. It's, you know, beer, burgers and banter, I think was Damien Christoph's recent night. You know, it wasn't like mellow mental health men. It was beers, burger and banter, but talking about something serious, if that makes sense. Yes. And I think we've got to be very conscious. I'm no marketing whiz, but I think it's more about just common sense and what do people relate to. We've got to have that level of relatability to our tribe. So a bit of thought needs to go into it as well, rather than just the content of that edge of that information piece.
Yeah. And are there rules? Have you found winning formulas as far as length goes?
Yeah, video is 3 to 5 minutes for sure. And I'll put it back to you guys. Like, what type of content-rich videos do you watch in terms of, and what duration are they? Like, would you say 3 to 5 minutes for, like, here's how to do your traction exercise? I just this morning, I wanted to know the best way to do high knees because I was like, do you march the high knees? Do you do a jog for the high knees? Do you really try and launch? You know, so, and it was like a 90-second video. I could have finished it in 30 seconds. It's an instructional video. If it's instructional, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. If it's got a bit more meat on the bone, you know, maybe 5 to 10. If you're addressing an Are You Okay to your local community, then I think you're probably within your rights to make it 5 to 10. But really, and most people would agree on this, there's no time limit as long as it's very engaging. If it's one camera, you're going to get sick of this. If you look at a Hollywood movie, we can watch a movie for 2.5 hours, but it's 400 cameras and special effects and all types of color contrasting and the rest of it. So we've got to be very mindful of that. And yeah. I do find that particularly for content providers, if their ego gets ahead of the market, they think all their videos are awesome. And sometimes we need to recognize that our stuff is not that great, particularly if the market's telling us that engagement is low.
Yeah. I think the further we get into a relationship with somebody, the longer the videos can be.
So if
I've never consumed anything of Marcus's beforehand, then, you know, if I press play and I see that this is 60 minutes, I'm like, dude, we don't know each other. Like this, let me start with 30 seconds. You know, let's get into that too.
That's so good.
Yeah. And the more I have a relationship with someone, when Marcus has built rapport and value and authority with me, and I see 60 minutes, then I might go, oh, have I got time to watch this now? No, but I'm going to hunker down with that later. So think about where you might be in the funnel, this kind of information that we're pushing out, and not to use that funnel word, but when we're pushing out into a community of people who don't know us, in many cases, shorter the better, 30, 60.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good point.
Yeah.
Put that on our strategy, can you? Can you put that on the strategy sheet there? Yes. We're shooting videos. Our market is cold. They don't know us and they don't trust us. So let's get their trust with short, engaging, entertaining, information-rich videos, maximum 5 minutes.
Yeah. So don't, as you said beforehand, I really liked it. You said, you know, put this out again and again and again. You know, if there are three different tips that somebody needs to with regards to sitting up their desk properly, don't shoot one video that goes through all three tips. Shoot three separate videos. It's more content for you as well. They'll be more likely for people to consume them. And if somebody watches that video, provides value, they'll find tip two and three. They'll go and search for that.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And just whilst we're on this, a little hack, I don't know if I've got them in my drawers here, but I keep all my old iPhones. So I think I've got about 5 or 6 iPhones. And then so I just, whenever I'm recording a video that goes for longer, I will record it on 3 or 4 iPhones, and I'll have 3 or 4 different bits of vision. And sometimes with a video, with a couple of those different shots, they'll be black and white or a different scale, or one will be zoomed in and the rest of it. So, and it's so easy to line that up in any editing software. So it's not a big job. And that makes it more engaging. So if you've got a 5-minute video, you can even do simple, like uncreative things like just every 15 or 20 seconds, change your camera view, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it makes it far more engaging for the viewer. I don't know if that's a bit 2.0 for people, but a lot of people have old iPhones and it's only a $20 to $50 tripod that you stick on, you hit record. You don't have to record sound because you only need sound from one camera.
Yeah.
The rest is just vision only.
Yeah. So these guys here that we use, we buy in bulk, you know, they're $1 a tripod that kind of holds your phone. Yeah, get on over to eBay or Amazon. You'll find them in bulk lots like that too. As a general rule, gang, you want movement happening on your screen at least every minute and probably every 30 seconds. So that could be a camera take. There could be some text that appears up on the screen. It could
Props.
Be a slight jump.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Sorry, you're on your...
No. You've done a great job. You've reiterated this numerous times of movement. You know, we are so now challenged by this kind of stuff. Our attention is decreased. If there's not something happening, I'm out of there.
Yeah. I'm out of there. Absolutely. There's just no patience. And I don't know if it's, again, I don't know if it's as we get older, our focus, or what would Tony Robbins call, like our sensory acuity to what we want, is the radar is so on that we just shut things out way more quickly. Or if it's become more of that social media, it's boxed the same. We don't have long at all to make that first impression, do we? I'm sure there's stats on it. We've probably got about 3 to 5 seconds to make a really good first impression on social media.
Yeah, it's not long and it's getting less and less. Marcus, I know that you, as the head of the Wellness Couch, which is a podcasting hosting company, you can do a lot of this stuff for people. So if they don't have the tech stuff or whatever, then they can do it. How do people get in contact with Wellness Couch?
Oh, look, I'm a bit old-fashioned, lads. I would say just send me an email, marcus@thewellnesscouch.com. And my phone number, I'm very public with these things, 0400-323-723. Because the podcasting world is so digital these days. I'm very big on creating relationships with our podcasters, because otherwise we now have this mantra in society, you know, it was so good, I didn't have to talk to a real human being. It's like we want to automate things so much that we just don't want to talk to people. But I'm still, and I say this to the podcasters, like if we don't have a relationship, we've got podcasters all over the world, all over Australia. We've got podcasters in the Kimberleys, you know, way out west and in all regional parts of Australia that I've never been to. But nothing is better for me than picking up the phone and saying, how are you going with your podcast and how can we help? You can't do that on a podcast, if you know what I mean. It's such a digital relationship. So I think, you know, our website is thewellnesscouch.com. People can check it out there. But I think if people are listening to this and they're interested, just drop me an email or give me a call. I just much prefer, again, I don't know what you guys think, but You know, I'm terrible on Facebook Messenger. People direct message me on Instagram and I just let everyone down. I'm like, I never check them. I'm with the kids or I'm kicking the footy or I'm, yeah, just give me a call and I'll call you back and we'll have a good old-fashioned chat.
Wow. Sounds great. A good old-fashioned chat in this digital world is always a good thing.
Marcus, well, Tone, you and I are like this. I mean, we talk on the phone 3 or 4 times a year and every time it's a good 20-minute chat because absolutely. There's so much to talk about. If we did it on a Facebook Messenger, you don't get any meat on the bone. It's also admin, you know. So I think we need a bit of that.
Sometimes it's the benefit of going analog again to kind of bring it right back to that as well.
I reckon, you know, it'll all come back. It'll all come back to analog.
Yeah. Come back to a flip phone.
Google Plus, the whole Google Plus thing has kind of, I think, made people aware, you know, how quickly it can all just crumble, you know, like with Google Plus shutting down overnight. You know, imagine if Facebook just shut down overnight with the data privacy, you know, and we'd all have to get back to building our businesses through real human relationship building and connection and understanding personalities and all the rest of it. So we never want to forget the subtle art of conversation and the good old Dale Carnegie, how to win friends and influence people.
Fancy that being the filter with which you do all your marketing is all about relationships and communication and connection. There's some great words and it should be the overarching thing that goes on everything, whether you're starting a podcast or putting a Facebook ad out. It's all about connection and building relationships. So Marcus Pierce, awesome. It's awesome to have a relationship with you, buddy. We love you lots. We love what you do. Thank you so much. Guys, check out 100 Not Out. Check out thewellnesscouch.com. Get around everything Marcus Pierce. Thanks, buddy.
Before we go, I just want to say to everyone watching, I want people to recognize the value of time here. I remember my very first events, dynamic growth experience events, and I would go to these events new into the chiropractic profession and watch you on stage, Angus, and watch you on stage, Tony, and go, wow, like, look at these guys having an influence, not on their profession, but just humanity as a whole. And that's probably 2008. That's literally 10 years ago. And so for everyone watching and listening to this, don't think that anything here is a quick fix. Really have visions for your life that are 3, 5, and 10 years in the making, because that's where the real relationships develop. It takes time, like any good relationship, and I think that's always paramount for health practitioners and people to remember, full stop.
Yeah, great work, buddy. And you know, we could sit on here and wax lyrical for ages about the beautiful work that, you know, the growth and the impact that you've had and continue to have, and in the future is wild. So thanks for sharing with us. There's a part 2 coming up in this, I'm sure, where we can kind of dive in and share more of, you know, the wealth of knowledge that you've got. So, buddy, we want to acknowledge you for, you know, just continuing to be a shining star. You've helped thousands of chiropractors and outside the community with the Wellness Couch as well. So we look forward to chatting with you again real soon, buddy. So get back to work and run that beard, hey?
Yeah, I certainly will.
See you, mate. See you next time.
See ya. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, sorry.
What a massive man.
As I said, professional making rookie errors every day. All right, you can chop that one up.